We are going to discuss tonight a topic which has been rather rhythmically described as God as Father, God as Mother, does it matter? And to get into this, it occurs to me that we might probably get at it fastest if we'd ask some of the men here first to respond on this. I'd just like to hear what you men feel about such things as the changing of the sexist language, or let me say the that makes it judgmental, but the language that refers to God constantly as he, language that we are used to referring to God as he, and then changing that to referring to God both as he or she, or seeing to it that God is not referred to in any sexual terms. I'd really like to hear first of all from a couple of men, and then maybe we'll hear what women will say in response to that. That might get us into it rather nicely.
Norm, may I ask a question? Is this in Bible translations, in liturgical texts, in prayers? Within which of these are you asking that question?
I think everything is fair game. And there are obviously, I think the category is the reference to the deity, the reference to God by terms which are specifically sexual. And God is he, God is she, or specifically father and mother. Those are usually the terms that are used. Maybe we ought to start with those. We have a particularly good week to talk about it because we have a very earthy and sensual representation of God as mother this week. But would any of you men want to respond to the issue of seeing to it that God is not referred to simply as male or as father? Yeah.
I'll just give my own thoughts on that. It certainly does not bother me to render God genderless, for certainly in my own mind, God is without gender. It seems irrelevant to his nature to me. Now, when you get to the level of language, I have trouble because I guess I'm not sufficiently facile to think of genderless terms to refer to God. So if we're going to use language which becomes he and or she, that kind of clumsy construction, I'm not in favor of that. We can find ways to still flow and work. And that's fine with me.
So it's okay with you. That's kind of where it is for you. It's okay.
Well,
I'm not trying to.
If by that you're implying that I'm not therefore saying that we ought to do something about this, I'm not sure. I guess you're probably right. You know, it's not become an issue about which I can become excited. Yet at the same time, I'm not going to stand there and say, hey, wait a minute, we can't change it. It always says our Father, and it's got to be that way because obviously God is a man. Christ called him Abba.
Obviously, God is going back.
What I'm saying is, I would take the position that says, since God is obviously male, we must continue to refer to him.
You would not take that position.
No.
Okay, that's one man's story. Go ahead.
I think that no matter how much I change my language, I've been so referring to God as Father is so much in my culture that I don't see how I can stop that from inside of me.
Do you see any?
All of the artwork that I've seen, all of the, I still see a male figure.
Do you
but I don't
think it's
that.
A thing you'd want to work on, or do you have any interest in? No. Okay.
Can I challenge that?
I think it's just as silly to call him her as it is to call her him.
Okay. Strictly in the friendly sense of debate among males, and I think males should be able to do that these days. I'd like to ask this gentleman if he could relate to an experience I had. I try to be sensitive with regard to sex-biased language, at least what I consider sex-biased language. And I had led a Bible study within our parish in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And after going through texts in Jeremiah, which are very amenable to the type of thing that's been done liturgically yesterday and today, I concluded with prayer. And somehow let my guard down for the very reasons this gentleman articulated. Father is very much in my culture. And I don't even remember where, but somewhere I did refer to God as Father, and I ruined the evening for one of the women. It blew the whole, what had up to that time been, I think, for everyone, a successful Bible study. I wonder if, in a situation like that, you'd adjust your language, sir.
I don't know if I could or not. I'm not sure. I had a similar thing happen to me right here in the village about 3 or 4 years ago, where someone got very upset about it. And I just felt like that's really not my problem. That was her problem.
Any other man? Yeah, Paul.
When I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago some 50 years ago, I grew up calling all those black folks niggers. And it took some energy on my part to quit doing that. Now, some niggers didn't care, but some did care. And for those who cared, I think it was worth the energy. Besides that, it was less hostile for me.
Can you say, Paul, whether you did it for the sake of them or you did it for the sake of yourself? Because that's very relevant when we talk about whether the reason for changing the language about God is because the women will not appreciate. I mean, we got to be sensitive. I've got 4 women in my home, you know. So for that reason, I have got to be respectful. Or is there any need on your part or my part to perceive God in other than male terms?
So I'm not in fully touch with God when I limit my understanding of God to male gender terms.
That wasn't a rhetorical question.
No, that's
it's an honest
question.
I'm just
trying to think out loud what that feels like, and that's kind of what that feels like. That the wholeness of God's presence is perhaps missed with language that limits that view.
Well, you're saying things I didn't say, but that's okay. But I just mean I didn't say that God's representation is only adequate when it is both male and female. That if you male plus female makes a total God. I mean, I don't think I was trying to say that.
I call black persons niggers because I had them in a box. That was the box. Now, if I let them out of the box, I learned to call them yet other things. And pretty soon, people who I could relate with.
Okay,
so calling God Father maybe becomes... the only reason I call him Father is because my mother taught me that.
Any other men? I'm sorry, ladies, we're playing the game of letting the men get some stuff out here. Yeah.
I'll say something, Norm. I guess the way I think about it is that there are a couple of different ways of talking about God. One is the negative way. God is something other than what we can describe. And thus, one stands in awe of God, but one cannot name God. Because of the transcendence of God, and it has the dimensions of mystery about it. So at that point, I am reticent to use familiar language to talk about God. But since that's not adequate by itself, then the next best thing, or another thing to do, is to talk about God with images with which I am familiar, to get at some dimensions of the experience of God. And at that point, I think it's wide open. I think one says God is like Father, God is like Mother, God is like a rock, God is like a lion, God is a lamb. And to me, that rather much means that I search about my experiences, experience of the community, the experience of others at other times and places, and there isn't any limit on the language because there are untold dimensions of the experience of God. So I either go one way where one cannot name it and one must simply stand silent before God, because that is too part of the experience, or else I say, yes, this part of the experience means God is like. But that's not to confuse. That's enough.
Well, maybe it isn't enough, Larry. What I'd like to get you to say is, what is the issue for you in Father, God is Mother, what's the difference, or does it matter?
The issue for me there is that, well, I have to say one more thing. I think when we do talk about God, that is another way of also talking about ourselves. I don't mean a simple projection, but I do mean that our understanding of ourselves and our experience and our understanding of God are corollaries one of another. So the issue for me there is that to restrict God to a set image or even several images is probably to get into a boxing of our own experience and a boxing in of our own self-understanding. I think there's a whole lot of issue there.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going
to
push
you. To open up the images for God is also to open up dimensions of our experience of God.
Right now,
images restrict us.
Would you now tell us, if you would, what for you is the issue? You had an open category there. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. You know, it's the experiences of God. What for you is the experience of God projected as Father or projected as Mother? I mean, what would, on touching those two symbols?
I want them both because I think there are things associated with Father which are important as ways of talking about the experience
such
of
as
God. Such as protection, such as the security that I associate with a father and child relationship that might also be associated with mother. You're asking me now what my associations are. There are associations with mother, and the ones in the text that we've had the last couple of days, nurturing, caring, a close, tender, and compassionate relationships that might for some also be associated with Father. But there are associations, and to only choose one is to limit the association.
Okay. Do any other men want to express what's in this issue for them? All right, Paul?
Specifically to that question of what's at issue, I think an important dimension to my mind is what the dominance, almost exclusiveness, of male imagery for God has done. I think that we males are very answerable to that one. It has meant, or at least has allied itself with the exclusion of women from full participation in all aspects of church life and leadership. It has led to a limiting of the roles that women are have been allowed to play in society. And this, as a natural outgrowth of a tradition, though life-giving to us, which nevertheless, as one of its aspects, has had a built-in discriminatory attitude toward women. But our religion grows out of a patriarchal society, And the dynamic of that religion has attacked those very discriminating structures, but never completely eliminated the forms to this present day. So I think theologically a lot's at stake. We men have been those who, as a group, have handed down that discrimination. It is now our responsibility to make amends for that. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. But how about you? And God is
my case, when this woman responds as she does to me, because I use Father in a prayer, yeah. It's my responsibility out of love. Analogous to Paul's meat sacrifice to idols, the bend over backwards to remove an unnecessary offense in her religious experience.
Okay, for the sake of women.
For the sake of the love of God for all humans. And for the sake of our being united in that love and not being divided by a meaningless semantic.
Okay, I couldn't agree with you more that we shouldn't offend people. It's the same thing I was talking to the other Paul here about. But, yeah, we shouldn't offend women. But is the reason to do this because we don't want to offend women, or is it because you have, for your own faith in life, a vested interest in perceiving God in motherly as well as fatherly terms?
Definitely.
And that's what I think we need to get out here.
Yeah, well, I don't think the two are unrelated, but also intrinsically, the meaning of male plus female images to give a completer view of God is certainly a very positive contribution to enrichment of our theological and faith.
Would you tell the group what it does for you?
Well, I was raised as a traditional male who dominated, who had to lead, had to excel, couldn't cry. And I clothed God with attributes like that, and I had an immutable, oppressive giant somewhere up there in heaven. And I think that colored very much my response to life, and still does. I'm in a process, because of Dorothy Bass, especially, and other women who come to Harvard as research associates. I still can't say the category, but they are women theologians in residence who call to our attention that the way we respond to life as males is partly influenced by the language we use and the symbols of God we've inherited. So I regard it as a part of a very thoroughgoing overhaul of our humanity. That is an aspect of our name in God. So I think much is at stake here, Norm, and it cuts right to the very bone and marrow of our being.
I have a hunch what is maybe most interesting here this evening is the stuff that you said about your own background and your coming up and how your images got formed and what that does in a cause and effect way to your faith. I think those are the things maybe that we need to get on the table about this issue. Are there any other men who would like to add to this picture?
One of the first aspects that I'm thinking of is that I'm anxious to not limit God, and we've talked about the limitation, so maybe I'll just kind of skip that area as we get into it, maybe we'll get along more. But from the side of pastoring, one of the ways in which it forced itself in on me, because I didn't exactly go out to take the issue on at the beginning, but was that in talking about God as Father, beginning to discover many people who had such a bad experience or image of Father that it radically limited what I was saying about God, and in fact excluded people whose childhood or whatever was in some way a bad experience for a father was concerned. And so therefore, that person was going to have to hear of God in a different way from me than just simply Father. And that was difficult because my background was like others would describe in a certain category. Now, if I may give just a second brief example from my own tradition.
May I respond to that first one a little bit? I've come around in my own thinking full tilt on this and come to think that if you had a bad father experience, maybe it's high time you discover that there is another father experience that negates that or cleans it up or redeems it. In other words, it is only in discovering God as Father that we are freed from the inadequacies of our human fathers. And I'm wondering if we let it off too quickly by simply calling God by another authority name, and then the issue doesn't get dealt with. But that just for the sake
of... And I may get a chance to deal with that as pastor, and I may not. I may only be heard by people, you know, in passing, and I may do something, you know, I may or may not. The other side for me that I took coming from the Catholic tradition was the meeting person once who, when I was talking about the Virgin Mary, could not relate to Mary, his mother, because her mother had died when she was three, and she did not have a knowing mother experience. And so, in other words, two different things here zeroed in on me to force me to begin looking at what categories I was using or how I might limit, you know, God. And I think that one then, pastoring on the one hand, but in the very pastoring and ministering to others, I too myself in being beginning to discover that I'm ministered to by the things that are happening or what I'm saying, that God is...
Would you tell us something about that? What's in it for you to call God Father or to call God Mother for your faith?
I was very invested in calling God Father because that's what I grew up with. But I'm looking to break out of the molds and the limitations.
Why? Why for you?
Let's see. I keep forgetting who was the French writer who said that, you know, God created us in his image and likeness and we keep returning the favor. That in trying to of keeping God in my image and likeness. Now, there are many areas where that happens more than just Father, but we're kind of, because I could talk about love and forgiveness and a whole host of things.
Could you be specific about what's in it for you to call God Mother?
I wouldn't have started if I thought you were going to nail me.
I'm sorry, you're here.
What's in it for God?
Not what's in it for God.
What's in it for me? Maybe the animus and anima, my getting in touch more and more with the feminine in myself, in the best sense, that there is a complementariness of animus and anima, and that God is more than just one part of that. And the need for me, for myself, to be unlocked, that in the very ministry to others, that I am proceeding to unlock and open up myself.
Are there any other men here who would like to express themselves on this? And yes, I will nail you if you
will.
Well, I'm not in a big rush, okay? All right, I would like to ask the women, first of all, to reflect, do you have any comments on what was said? What you heard in those comments? Do you have any response to what the men were saying? Yeah.
Just to what he was saying there, when you were asking him, what does it do for him? The only thing I was thinking is it opens him up to maybe administer to people who are sensitive about that, the language being used to women. I think that maybe he would get more of a response.
I mean, in a professional way, you could
be
a better pastor to people. Yeah. But I was trying to get beyond the issue of whether or not this would be good. I should talk this way because I would get farther with you. You know, the issue is, should I talk this way because I would have a better understanding of God, or that my faith would be enhanced? You see what I'm...
I would think both.
Okay. You want to say why?
Well, I would think he would have a better understanding of himself, and in that, I think he would be better with...
Why would we have a better understanding of ourselves?
Because I would think he'd be working on both sides, male and female sides of yourself. And looking at God as a male figure, stereotypically, I think you're limiting your perspective.
Okay. Any other women on this? Yeah.
I really feel that if you change your language just to try to, it's almost patronizing to do that. From my way of thinking, there is a point in my life in which I will develop further than just needing a father image as a God. But that is something that I have to grow through and past. And so as a pastor, you will be dealing with my issues if you help me to understand where I am. And so I don't need you to change your language to suit my cause or whatever, with, just to be thinking, but to help for me to understand it better through.
Okay, I think I got you. Does any other woman here want to respond to what's been said, especially your perceptions of what the men were saying and what you saw in them?
I'd just like to say one thing, that I think that the men are overreacting. I find it rather offensive.
Would you not use the pronoun, tell us what was offensive? It.
Assuming that because we are female, we think everything should be feminist and non-sexist, and that becomes an issue because it's the in thing to be.
Okay, so you don't want me when I'm leading liturgy to change things around.
I don't,
because it will offend
father.
You.
It doesn't say our mother.
You could say our parent.
I don't disagree. It says our father to me, and that's the
just
way
father.
It
is. Isn't that I'm trying to get at, be very, you know, draw a tight circle around what you're saying. You were saying you don't want to be, like she said, you don't want to be patronized. In other words, you don't want me changing the language of the liturgy for your sake. Or the liturgy, of course, that is public. Let's say that you don't want to be me to be thinking female images of God because I think I might get along better with you. Okay, all right. You haven't said anything about what you might want to do with female images of God for yourself. That's still another issue.
Well, I guess I was brought up in a strict Missouri Synod home. To me, it's always been God the Father, and that will always be my image. I realize that the pictures are someone's idea of what God really looks like, but it's not something that this time in my life, I think, that needs to change. It's something that that to me is there. And I agree with Larry. I mean, sure, there are a lot of things that are maybe God-like, or that you think that God is to you, and that's great. Those are things that mean something to you. But that doesn't mean that God is whatever you want to make him be that day.
Any other women?
I had an interesting thing I'd just like to mention. I work at Augustana College, and a girl came in about 2 years ago into my office, and she had on a shirt, you've probably seen it, but it said, when God created man, she was only joking. That was the first time I really ever thought about it, and I think I wanted to hit her. Because I thought that was a terrible thing to be wearing a Christian.
All right, Janet?
I do want you to change your language for my sake and for your sake and all of everyone's sake. Time and time again, people say God is sexless, that God has no sex. Then why do we insist on using asex to refer to God? Is my question. I can stand to grow, and I hope everybody else can. I'm just beginning to realize the breadth, width and height and whatever of who God is. And it's not just some big grandfather figure up there for me. And I need people to push me and challenge me. So I ask people to change their language for my sake.
All right, Janet, what's in it for you?
What's in it for you?
She's not
going to
have to answer that question.
Yeah.
I just ask questions.
What about another?
Wait, I don't think Janet is off the hook yet.
Well, since I've started changing my language on occasion and becoming aware of the passages in the Bible that refer to God as feminine, as female, I just have grown in my relationship with God.
How?
how.
We did ask, does it matter?
Does it matter?
And that's where the rubber would hit the road, wouldn't it? How?
How does it matter? Well, I'm trying to be specific so you don't ask me again. The knowledge of, I mean, God is, has always been this kind of nebulous figure, and originally I think I had pictures of God as a long white bearded man in heaven. And when I decided that maybe wasn't exactly who God was, and that there's more to it, to the whole idea of who God is, I guess I feel like my faith is changed and strengthened, and I feel like I can reach out to people feeling more confident in my faith and in the ministry that I do for people.
Yeah, I can understand that would do that.
But how, right?
Yeah. I think that's the critical point.
I don't have specifics right now.
Okay, we can come back to you. I want to see if there's any others before we go back to...
Yes.
He's a gentleman. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's a growing, or at least a changing picture. I don't know, 2 years ago or so in our parish when we first started having women become aware of the sexist language and using a hymn and in the liturgy of the day. And Paul started changing the liturgy in that. We had some people that offended, some that pleased, etc. But I started becoming aware of it, and I find, like, you know, rise up, open in a God, I really don't want to sing just that.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm excluded.
Well, of course, in that case...
I never used to. What I'm saying is, the publicity, if you want to call it that, starts to affect one.
Okay. In that case, we're talking about not God, but the church.
Right.
Rise up,
well,
O man of God.
I
is not
see,
a thing
I still
to God.
Haven't gotten too excited about God the Father being changed. I'm still in the bit of the liturgy and the hymns, and I can't become conscious of that.
Yeah.
And I do like when it's changed, unless it occasionally it's so awkward you sort of wish they changed the whole thing when they try to make the mend and hinder. But often it fits quite well.
There is nothing at stake for you in seeing God as mother.
Oddly enough, I sense more nurturing, etc., from a mother than from a father, but somehow that still hasn't entered into my God the Father bit when I'm in church. Maybe it'll get there, just like the other has. It doesn't offend me. That doesn't offend me.
You don't think you're any the poorer for presenting, seeing God only and calling God only Father? No.
Well, I grew up in a very patriarchal society.
What
I'm saying is, we still thought Mother was really the one that put this whole thing together.
Is there anything?
She's in heaven.
She's still alive.
But the point is there anything lost for you in calling God only Father?
I don't feel that personal loss yet. I'm saying that may change as the other things have changed.
Okay.
It hasn't hit me emotionally yet.
All right. Yes, please.
Well, I feel really strongly about the fact that a father can be just as nurturing as a mother can. And, okay, that probably comes from my experience, but I can see it even in people that I don't even know, fathers that do that. And you see it around here, the tender, loving feeling that fathers have someone for their kids, and the way the kids react to their fathers. To me, it doesn't have to be a mother or a father to have that, to relate it that way at all. And
there's nothing at stake for you in calling God mother.
No, there isn't. Maybe from the Lord's Prayer, I still feel, okay, I'm one of those that would say, when Jesus was asked to teach us to pray, and he taught at that time, he said, Our Father. And so, to me, that would be kind of important to leave that one alone. maybe I don't know the Greek for it or whatever it is. And
the Greek is Father, isn't it? It's a pretty universal word. The Greek is Father.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but the meaning, of the Greek is important here, because it's a term of tenderness, a term of intimacy, a term of endearment, and it is to be contrasted with, or could be contrasted with, the distance, the aloofness of a patriarchal father.
The Abba, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you mean the Aramaic Abba, the father?
Yeah.
Yeah. The daddy, rather than father. And you, I guess you've all heard that. You know that.
No, would you explain it just?
Jesus used the word. Well, go ahead, Larry. You.
The Greek word Abba is a word used actually rarely, and thus it is called to attention when Jesus uses it. But it is a word Father, which connotes closeness, intimacy, endearment, tenderness.
You mean the Aramaic word?
The Aramaic word, yeah, excuse me, the Aramaic word. And in a patriarchal society where father is, and a father-child relationship is one characterized by contrast as one of distance, aloofness, albeit with great respect, then Abba comes across quite differently.
Okay, well, my thinking of a father then is Abba, the whole thing. I mean, that's what I would say, and I would think that, okay, that's where I come from.
Jackie.
I was just wondering about this idea of this being more of a problem with our language, with the English language, because the fact that we don't have a neutered pronoun. And I was wondering if in all the translations, if maybe that's one of the reasons why we're caught up in that. If you don't know, then you're supposed to use the...
Okay, so we could use the word God or creator or whatever. That's, I guess that's really male, but you haven't really... It does not say creatoress. Okay. The noun creator is a male noun, a masculine noun. I stand corrected. Do I?
Well, grammatical gender and sexual gender are related ones to another. In Hebrew, you only got male and female, and you don't have gender.
That's right.
So that, but what, that's grammatical gender. What's that got to do with sexual gender?
Hopefully nothing. But what I was trying to get at, there is a point of relevance here, that we could find terms that were totally neutral, but that doesn't get at the point. And you are Jackie, aren't you?
No,
I'm sorry, got you to misidentify. But the point is, for you, is there any value in calling God Mother? Because the title of this discussion is God is Father, God is Mother. What's the difference, or does it matter? And does it matter to you that God is specifically called Mother now and again? Now, if we could find a totally neutral term, then that would okay. Then neither matters to you. We could do away with the two energies.
I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to say at this point. I would say that I feel more comfortable with, you know, our Father who art in heaven and the tradition that it doesn't, that's never bothered me at all. I guess I don't really know where I stand on that. I don't feel a need to call God Mother.
Okay. Any other, yeah.
I guess I very much feel the need to call God Mother. I feel that I am a creative being as well as a creative person, and I have been created in the image of God, and granted I'm not a mother, but I'm a woman. And so in that way, I cannot be constantly calling God Father, because I could never conceivably possibly be a father. I could possibly be a mother. Okay.
So the issue for you then is that you and God have something in common.
Well, yeah.
Which would be, in this case, mothering.
Maybe not so much mothering as woman, female.
Okay.
And man.
So it's what you and God have in common, not what you get from God as the one who creates you.
Not necessarily. Well, I'm not sure. I don't want to get myself involved. But, I mean, as far as the nurturing aspect, I have been nurtured by both my parents, and equally so. But so the father and mother to me are both equally nurturing images, but I do need both images.
Right. Well, that's the first time it's been said tonight, and it's a very clear statement that it's a question then for you of identity between yourself and God.
Very much so.
Okay. It's not a matter of receiving certain good things from God, but of identity. I think there's a difference.
Yeah, I would strongly agree with Justin, with what Janet was saying too. I have, language is very important to me, and when you're talking about being created in God's image, being created both male and female, and to only hear the male pronouns and the male adjectives leaves out my part of me too. Like Jesse was saying, to be identified with God in both the male and both the female, and not only with God, but also being called a son of God, brother in Christ. I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a woman, I'm not a man, I'm not a...
Well, that gets into the issue of inclusive language in terms of the church, the people of God. But we're talking about what it is that you get from God in the symbol of God as mother.
Maybe just that I'm created in God's, male and female, both created in God's image, and that's what I get. I'm a woman and have both male and female qualities, and like that to be portrayed and how God is portrayed in our services.
Okay. Yeah.
It seems to me that the turn this discussion has taken indicates that we're trying to project human qualities onto a God, which I guess I have never done, and therefore I don't identify God as having a physical body with a physical gender as we do. And therefore, I don't feel the need to identify God as being a woman or being a man in that way. And so I don't feel threatened by thinking of God as male or using the male terminology.
Would you be threatened by considering God as mother?
I think that's unnecessary.
May I suggest that that's unfair? That you're saying that over against father, it's okay because you're used to that, but the sex isn't important, but you're uncomfortable when the same thing is done with mother. And I say, why are you uncomfortable with it?
Because I think the qualities that we are most frequently associating with women are also qualities that can be found in men. And therefore, I think we're projecting human limitations onto our God.
Well, I'm just for the sake of bugging you, I think you have put a human limitation on God by saying, I want him portrayed only as him, as Father. Okay, well, that's a different argument. To say that I'm comfortable with it traditionally is valid, clear, everybody understands what that means. That's not the same thing as saying I want to view God as sexless.
Well, then maybe
then maybe in the purest sense you need to use the, to throw out both mother and father.
Okay, you have nothing at stake then in male or female. Larry,
it just occurred to me that one could make a proposal to get at the question of whether anything is at stake here. The proposal would be that since the language, the dominant language has been male with reference to God in the tradition, that for the next, 2,000 years, we use female language. If language is relatively trivial, or if it's a matter of becoming, feeling at ease with it, and if female can also include male, as we say, male can include female qualities, maybe the proposal that we use exclusively female language would get at the question whether anything was at stake. I'm serious about this as a way
of
investigating whether anything is in fact at stake.
Well, what's nice about that point is that it puts on the table the issue here that we're not, if you really want to say that it doesn't matter, then that would test it.
No, I don't think it's trivial at all.
Yeah, well, Judy?
I admit that probably most women here are not advocating completely reversing the situation as Larry is talking about, which definitely puts on the table. But I think it is very, very real to imagine how a woman can feel, and I think I feel that way myself when more time goes on, to think back over all references to God that I have heard all my life and have them all be male. And in putting what Larry said in the past, to say, for example, well, if a woman has a problem with it, well, that's her problem. If the situation had been reversed for the last 2,000 years, and we were all in the opposite position right now, and every man in this room had been used to hearing God referred to as our mother, who art in heaven, and female images instead of an old man with a white beard in a Bible story teacher book, it'd be an old lady with a white beard. If the situation had been the opposite all along, I think that there would be differences of feeling and opinion in this room right here about the kind of pain that can cause.
Well, that may be, but what I think we need to hear from you is.
You hear from me. I agree with the people upstairs who said that use the images of being created in God's image, that for myself, if I am to really believe that I am created in God's image, then God's image for me has to include mother as well as father. And I don't feel...
Why?
Because I'm a woman. Identification, I just said it. I want it to be both. I don't want it to be all father. I want it to be partly father. I want it to be partly mother. I don't want to switch over the next 2,000 years to the other thing. We don't need to go through all that again. We just come through that on the male side.
So it's God as the creator of masculinity and femininity that is at stake in calling God father and mother.
Even a sermon that our vicar, our intern preached a year or so ago at our church in Washington, you heard it, where she referred to God she and God he in the same sermon, interchangeably, back and forth, and that drove some people crazy. But I liked that. And she was trying to make a point by doing that. All in one sermon, in one 15-minute sermon, she went back and forth referring to God as he and God as she, interchangeably. And by the end of that sermon, I was quite comfortable with that. It didn't make any difference.
You're going to have God a child, too?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, God is everybody and everything.
Well, God is
anything.
We say, how often have we used the image, like Larry said, God is a rock, God is
right.
A lion.
That's what I'm saying. It always has been.
Yeah, but those words are, the Psalms are full of images, aren't they? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my buckler, my shepherd, all this. But we never say the Lord is my mother. We don't say that in words like we say God is all these other things.
And it's because the issue then is the creation, the creator of femininity is, I mean, and not that not in a negative way, but, you know, as in ways that are silly. But for you then, the issue is that you want a God who is the creator also of your feminine being.
Yeah.
That being in you, that part of you that is distinctly,
yeah,
because you're feminine.
I can't identify very much with the statement of being created in God's image, unless that image for me is female, at least in part. What she said and what she said.
Holly, I want to try to be inclusive of
you. I wanted to complain about Larry stealing my idea. He didn't get it from me, but he did somehow steal it. I think it would be perfect to go over the next, isn't it 5,000 years it has to
go? I have amended it to simply 25.
25 years?
Just 25.
No. 5,000 years, because I figure at the end of 5,000 years we might have come up with a neutral term that we can all be comfortable with.
So, all right, Holly, if it's
like
neutral, then there's nothing at stake for you
like
in God as father or mother.
No, I am saying that I believe there is something at stake. I would like it to even out a little bit so that there might be some possibility that men can understand how excluded women have felt.
Oh, you want to get even?
No, I really don't.
Well, that's what you just said.
No, I want to raise consciousness.
That.
Well, all right. Or you want to educate us.
Right.
But my question to you, Holly, is what does it matter to you that God is mother?
What does it matter to you that God is father?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Holly, you're on.
That's exactly the question I was going to answer as part of the problem. I had something else I want to say.
Well, go ahead and say it, Holly.
I just wanted to say that it seems to me that the issue is, of course, we don't have to wait 5,000 years to find out whether people actually have anything at stake. Men, I'm sure there have been men in this room that have gone to women's meetings and women's groups and so on, women's societies, wherein they talk about sisterhood and women and womankind and so on. And all the men that I have ever run into that went through that have felt very, very excluded and very consciousness raised and said, hey, wow, I'm beginning to see what you people, you women, have been talking about. For me personally, I think the issue is not so much father and mother, male and female. I think we need to open up the whole concept of God to include everything that God might possibly be that we can conceive of. And there seems to be, as Judy was saying, we can have God as a rock and a lion and a lamb and all kinds of other things. Why is it we're so hung up about God as woman? And it's because historically women have not been looked upon very well. Now that maybe women are starting to achieve some equality, maybe that image should be extended and more comfortably used for God.
Or what would that contribute to women, and specifically to you?
We feel good about it.
I think for me specifically, the best way I could put it is it would just round out the image of God a little more. And that's all we can ever do, because God is infinite.
All right, what parts would get rounded out if God were mother for you?
Partly it would include me more, just because I would be able to identify more with a God who was somewhat more like me. Part of it, though, would be more just trying not to limit God, that the masculine image is such a strong one and has been for so long, and it would be nice if we could say, well, besides that, God is these other things. Comfortably say, God is also weakness as well as strength. God is nurture as well as whatever. I don't know what all the compositions are.
I would have to assume that the reason you would feel comfortable with that is that God would then be affirming your womanhood.
No, that isn't the main thing for me. That's helpful for me to say, well, I can maybe comprehend a God who is also female as well as masculine, but I think what's more important is that all people can perhaps comprehend a broader, less limited God. It is. I'm not trying to say God has to be shaped a way for me to comprehend. I'm saying that by broadening our images of God, we're broadening our comprehension of God. Well, so I'm trying to do justice to God. How's that?
I'm interested in God doing something for you. And the point is...
There's some other people that want to talk.
God has already done something for me. I'm saying, let's see if we can just enlarge our... That's what our whole... Everything we have to do and be is to enlarge our concept of this infinite God that we worship.
Certainly. The lady in the second row with the white sweater on.
From New Haven. Is that one?
Yeah.
No.
There's two ladies with my hands.
Which one?
This is the second row. This is
Right, please. I don't know your name.
This may help. When I came to Holden, I never even heard about inclusive language. I never had a problem. Well, I'd had a problem with inclusive language and hymns and men and all this. But I'd never, when it came to God, I didn't have a problem saying God the Father. So when I came here, I was very relieved to see other people aware of the fact that I felt excluded when I sang all men in the world and whatever. And then when I realized that I was myself offending people, I wasn't aware of it, and I really kind of got, you know, like that. But then someone just said, someone used the term Mother, Father, God. And I just, it hit me, and I went through this really different change. It kind of, it changed a lot about my image to God, because it brought me into the picture. And as far as what it does for me is it touches me more and brings, it's not God the Father, it's God the Mother Father.
It includes you.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, well, I hear that. That's very clear. Okay. That's a very clear statement.
So I just want to say it because it was from someone who has not been biased by anyone who has, you know, grown up, you know, feeling offended or whatever.
This lady by the window.
I, for myself, you know, I have to be one man, so I really care about a woman. And I think that God created women in his own image, and he created us male and female, so he meant for there to be difference, some of us. He also gave women the greatest gift as being mothers. His son was born of a woman. And I, for some reason, I get real, I tend to, everything is unisex, you know, we all wear the same jeans, we all wear the same haircut. And I'm not sure that God doesn't mean there to be a difference. And using he or she doesn't bother me either way. I don't, and my husband, you know, takes care of the house and I work. So I don't have a real set, cut and dry, you know, situation that man, the male is bad. I guess I'm feeling from the conversation that some of the think male is hard or not.
I haven't heard. I dare say it's been very gentle on that. There has not been a lot of bad mouthing of male images. It's just that the question is, do you want to hear?
And loving but respected or aloof or something. You know, and I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Well, you're saying that in this issue, there's not anything in it for you to call God mother.
Well. It bothers somebody,
no. I mean, for
but
you.
For me,
no. Okay, the next lady over there wanted, did you have your hand up?
No, I didn't have my hand up, but I want to say this. People say that the statement, God, I was created in God's image. Mm-hmm. I like to look at God as being the rock of Gibraltar, you know, which is man. He gives love, which is a woman. The Lamb of God is a child. You know, it just circles everything around. But it also says that the man is the head of the household. And he created us all. He is our head. You know, so I don't see any issue about calling him mother at all.
Wait a minute. You don't see any issue in it. That means you would like to, or you would not like to.
I wouldn't want to.
You wouldn't want to?
No.
There's nothing you would derive from that?
No, because as far as my image, me being born in his image or made in his image, I represent maybe the love of him, you know?
Okay.
I'd like to ask you a question. Why does it bother you to call God mother? I mean, I'm getting that bothers you to call God mother, and I'm wondering why that bothers you.
I don't know if it really bothers me. I just look at him as the head. And the woman is weaker than the man. I don't care what a woman does, you're still weaker.
Do you mean emotionally or physically? I don't know where that's going to get us. There's a lady in the back that wishes to speak for the first time.
I don't know if this is making it too mundane, but it seems to me that maybe what's at stake is what we have done with image of God as man. Mm-hmm. Not so much.
Would you be specific?
Well, the fact that God as male has been used in a way that has been oppressive to women. That women are always under men. That women have qualities that are always weaker. That women are excluded from certain jobs in the church. It seems that women couldn't be pastors or priests for a long time because and within the Catholic Church, the disciples were men and God is a man. So that women were not allowed to have those positions or to have that power within the church because of that image of God as male. And we talked in this morning in the Bible study about how the God of the Jews was not a hierarchical God, that he did not mean to create a hierarchical society, and that if we have, it seems to be a result of sin. And if we have used those images in that way,
that sounds to me as though there is some idolatry in calling God Father.
Yes.
I mean, that's where you're going with that, aren't you? You're saying that there's something at stake in God as Father, which is not God, which is idolatrous.
It's just as idolatrous to call Him Mother, though. I mean, if you're going to say that God is both male and female, it's either whether you call God the Father or God the Mother, you're still going to make one kind of sex.
Well, I guess I would like to ask you to be specific. I mean, she was specific about what in the Father was not really God, not a true or a faithful representation of God. And if you're going to say that about Mother, then I think you'd have to do the same thing, which is say, what in Mother, we haven't used it very much, but what in God as mother would be idolatrous, and I haven't heard that.
Well, yes, and what's idolatrous is that it's partial. It's partial.
Yes.
And the idolatrousness of any human statement is not worthy of God. And that calls for a qualification or an amendment. And it seems to me this father-mother problem is classic. Every theological statement has been deemed by the next generation as inadequate. So it adds its statement, whether by way of a new image, or a new creed, or a new magnum opus by a theologian. So we have had Father serving well for a long time, now felt inadequate because of new sensitivities. I'd say because God is active in God's community, sensitive to the fact that that has excluded people. It has not been a full hymn of praise because it is not regarded God as complexly and multifacetedly as possible. So I think it's not just self-serving the women to add the image mother, but it is a proper response in praise to say, God, I finally realized you're also a mother. In other words,
you include personal qualities which have been excluded by the male image. Well, it has for some people. And this woman, I think, puts her finger on it when she points to a history of our church, which has been a history of exclusion, partially because of the images we use.
And which would not be God, would it, Paul? I mean, that would be a negative thing. It is not indicative of God. God is not an excluder of women. Okay. I have to tell you that it is 7 after, and they're going to do Compline here at 15 after. Larry, do we have to cut it off?
You know, may I say, Dorothy Bass, who might have had a lot from his head or hand up. Could we hear from her?
All right, let's hear from Dorothy Bass, please.
I had 2 things I wanted to say. One is that I'm not sure that it's always a good thing spiritually to be comfortable with one's God talk. Mm-hmm. Now, I have been involved and found it very important in my own growth to learn to think of God in both female and male ways, not only parentally, but in other ways. I remember a wonderful prayer I heard about God as a seamstress. You know, it still hangs in my memory. So that's been very important. But that's not to say that it's easy, or that it feels good the first time, or the 10th time, or the 20th time. Sometimes I'll hear a female image of God, and I need that today, and it feels comfortable. Other times it just reminds me, it shakes me up, and it says, you can't just be a child, you can't just be protected, you know, by the Father. So it's a shifting, not an easy, comfortable kind of change, but I think it's a spiritually important one to be challenged, both men and women, by new kinds of images. And the other point I wanted to make is that I think that language is alive in within a community. You know, we all learn those words from each other, and we use them and reshape them among ourselves. And so the reality and the values that we see reflected in the practice of the community become part of the meaning of the words. And so if I'm in a church or a community where I feel that women are truly valued and the femaleness is really, really has access to the holy in the same way that maleness does, then I'm comfortable, and some preacher says, God the Father, then I'm liberated to experience that historic term in a way that is good for me. If I'm in a community which is oppressive, where I don't feel valued, where someone's saying, no, you can't be a minister, no, you can't do this, you know, no, we don't put women on the board. And then they say, well, God loves you just as much, and the Father, well, thanks, but no thanks, you know, and my anger rises, but even that anger, I think, is a righteous anger, is another means of access to the divine. You know, as Paul said, a way that God might be acting in my story and in our common story at this time in history. So, you know, I don't see any of this as a static issue, but that we live in a moment of change, which I think can provide opportunities for spiritual growth, which has for me, and which I hope could for some other people too.
I can't think of a better wrap-up of this discussion than that. Thank you.